to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, August 6th, 2017, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here today to chat with Shelley, Mark, and Ken about attending religious colleges. Mark actually just relocated here from Las Vegas to attend the University of St. Thomas Law. He went to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas for an undergraduate in political sciences and philosophy. While there, he served as the president of the UNLV Young Democrats and helped found their Secular Student Alliance. Shelley is from, I'm going to butcher your town's name, Mount Horeb.
You got it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It sounds horrible.
Nicely done. It was very interesting.
Wisconsin, which is outside of Madison, and went to Bethany Lutheran. And Ken is originally from Chicago. He moved up to Minneapolis in 1989 and has been here ever since. He's an IT technology recruiter and has been in the Twin Cities for 20 plus years, an avid biker and fixer of old things, an inventive tinkerer. As for me, you guys know me from listening to me here, and actually I went to an Assemblies of God college for 2 semesters, and let's just say it was worlds away from my geeky liberal Catholic upbringing. As I said earlier, we are going to speak about attending religious colleges. Each of us has gone to or will be going to a religious college soon, and we're here to talk about our time in and approaching these institutions. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we're live, but you can always email or tweet us when you're listening to the podcast. Shelley, Mark, Ken, good morning and welcome to Atheist Talk.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome.
Good morning.
So I just want to start out with kind of a basic question of what religion did you guys grow up in? Ken, do you want to start us off?
Certainly. I grew up Seventh-day Adventist.
All right. Shelley?
Roman Catholic.
Nice. Me too. Mark?
I was baptized Catholic and then grew up in sort of non-denominational Christian churches.
Okay. And then what colleges did you attend or are going to attend? Ken, how about you?
I attended Union College in Lincoln, Nebraska.
All right. Shelley?
I started my first year of undergrad at Bethany Lutheran, transferred up to the U of M where I finished my undergrad in literature and language arts, and then attended St. Thomas University to get my master's in education.
Ah, so you might have some pointers for Mark.
I might.
And Mark, I think in the intro I did mention that you went to the University of Nebraska. Anything in between that or before that?
University of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, sorry.
I did spend like a brief moment at Indiana University, and then I will be attending University of St. Thomas School of Law. So.
Awesome. All right. So, and why did you guys choose these religious organizations? Ken?
Well, at that time, it was one of the only schools that had a commercial arts program within the Seventh-day Adventist system.
And was there any pressure from family or friends to stay within the Seventh-day Adventist organization?
Well, yeah, to a certain degree there was. It was expected. It wasn't so much pressure as the expectation was there. Also, the fact is just inertia. Mm-hmm. I've been in the SDA system all my life, so it seemed like a win-win with the expectation and knowing people in the system and the religion and so on.
Awesome. Shelley, how about you?
Well, I was at a college fair at some point. I can't remember if it was at my high school or if it was actually in Madison somewhere. But there was a recruiter, I remember, from Bethany Lutheran, and he talked up the theater program.
Oh,
yeah. And yeah. I was very, very much at that time geared towards the theater arts. And he talked a big game about, oh, blah, 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 big financial aid package. And so I went.
And Mark, what made you pick St. Thomas?
A lot of things. namely which the state of Minnesota, doing a lot of research in terms of wanting to relocate.
We are an awesome state.
the library district. My wife is pursuing a degree in library sciences, so that would help us both transition. And then just the metrics that I was looking for in terms of what I wanted out of law school, quality of life, quality of professors, return on investment, sort of all the other things. It was just kept ticking my metrics, and so that's what I ended up choosing.
I was going to say, you probably made the most logical decision out of the four of us. Yeah, four of us. Because actually, I was similar to you, where I had a recruiter, and I was like, oh, it won't be that bad. And then I went in and was like, oh boy. I think I was at the introductory chapel, and I was like, oh crap, I think I've made a very bad decision. Would you consider this, the institution that you went to, a fundamentalist atmosphere, Ken?
Absolutely.
And admittedly, I don't know much about the Seventh-day Adventists, but what would you consider a fundamentalist Seventh-day Adventist?
Well, Seventh-day Adventists are kind of an amalgamation from what I found out since leaving throughout my life. They worship on the Saturday, not Sunday, and in just about every way you can think of, they are what most people think of when you say fundamentalist Christian. They follow the Bible to the T, food, clothing, behavior, everything is dictated strictly by Bible.
So no poly cotton
scriptural
blends.
Mandates.
All right. And Shelley, how about you?
Can you repeat the question again, please?
Oh, yeah. Was the college you went to a fundamentalist atmosphere?
I had no idea about what a Lutheran was. I mean, there were Catholics and there were Lutherans in my hometown in a Jehovah's Witness church just outside. I grew up believing that Lutherans were kind of Catholic light, like the watered-down Kool-Aid version of Catholics. So I had no idea what was going on when I went to the campus, and I'd had no exposure to Lutheran prep school kids, which is what Bethany is primarily populated with. And came to find out that, yes, it was very, very fundamentalist, and I had no idea what train had just hit me.
And Mark, are you worried that St. Thomas might be kind of a fundamentalist Catholic institution?
From everything I've seen, no. Like, the acceptance package had very much, it seemed a very progressive liberal institution, and then hanging out with some of the students, it didn't seem like it'll be too much of a problem. Also, more concerned of how people think than what people think, so I guess that's...
That's good. Like I said, I think you got the most logical out of all of us. I have to agree with Bethany and Ken. It was North Central Bible College or North Central University in downtown Minneapolis, and oh man, was it fundamental. They had groups that would go out on Fridays and go out to downtown Minneapolis and preach to people, do street preaching, and I was like, you guys are going to get yourselves stabbed. Oh, my gosh.
So glad that wasn't an expectation in our college. We'd be in front of the Mankato Mall, like, woo!
Oh, gosh. Fortunately, it wasn't, like, mandatory. I actually was working housekeeping, and so I would see them on their way out and just going, nope, not going to happen. outside of the kind of religious parts of the college, what kind of culture did you guys experience, Ken?
On campus, well, it was just another larger scale example of the bipolarity of the religion. On one hand, you had very kindly people you talked to, but you absolutely had to have these religious credits, and you absolutely couldn't do this. And even though it was a co-educational campus, all that biological stuff was highly monitored, and it was, for me, it was just more of the same with just a little bit less supervision.
All right. Bethany?
Shelley,
sorry.
It's okay. I don't want to be a Bethany, though. No offense to the Bethanys. The culture was very weird. It was kind of... a very loosely covered boiling pot, it felt like, because there were your your Lutheran prep school bros, and then there were a whole bunch of females with large hair from Georgia that were very awesome, actually, and then there were your closeted lesbians. It was really, really strange. And there was an expectation that you would engage in these, you know, religious things, but the undercurrent with the student body was that we're barely tolerating this and we're really trying to make something more out of the experience.
And Mark, since you've gone and visited, what have you seen at St. Thomas?
It seems like it's a very blended culture. Hit and miss a little bit on diversity, but you walk outside and you're in downtown Minneapolis. So, if you're going to encounter diversity and have, you know, differing ideas, differing opinions and everything. So, you can definitely escape the culture if it gets too bad or whatever it is. So.
That's good. Yeah, I was going to say, because North Central University was also downtown Minneapolis, and so it was one of those I would go on these long walks at night to be like, I need to get out. I found the culture, that one actually, to be probably more like Ken's, where it was very invested. Everyone was kind of had this idea. I had one friend who was also pretty geeky, and she's like, oh, yeah, you're going to hell because you haven't been born again. And I was like, I don't think I understand this question or this problem. Why am I going to hell again? And hopefully we can get through this one quick because I think we got about 40 seconds. But what was the weirdest rule at your college? Ken?
I don't know where to begin. My guess is the co-ed, the behavior that was allowed in public. I mean, it was just bizarre beyond words.
All right, well, we're going to have to stop there and give these two a time to think about this, but please stay with us through the break, and we'll return to Atheist Talk with our guests, Shelley, Ken, Mark, and I'm Hertzie Hertz. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF. Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzie Hertz. Today's guests are Shelley, Mark, and Ken, talking about going to a religious college. Before we get back, however, I do want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to the American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production by American Atheists. So stick around, and remember, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Shelley, Mark, and Ken this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. I do have a quick couple of announcements. Our donors this week are Jeff, Jim, Nancy, and George, and all the attendees of the 5th Sunday's Flying Spaghetti Monster Dinner, and to all of our wonderful donors. Thank you so much for helping keeping us on the air. And two events to highlight for next weekend is the Saints game, or Mr. Paul Ain'ts game, which is absolutely wonderful, and the picnic on August 13th. So mark your calendars. I'm actually disappointed I have to miss the Saints game this year. It's the first time in 3 years. I'm so sad. And so just to give you a heads up, we actually do have a caller, so we're probably going to take a short break from our religious college questions to take Dan. Hello, Dan. How are you doing? Dan?
Hello?
Hello? Ken, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, as we try to figure out where Dan went, let us go back to what were the weirdest rules at your college. Ken, I think you said that it was the question of co-ed.
Yeah, I mean, briefly, what was allowed, what was allowed. It was, as I said, the whole thing was a continuation of monitoring. So
hello.
Half sex, oh, obviously.
Looks like we got Dan. I'm sorry. All right.
Okay.
So we'll just take a quick break. And Dan.
Hello.
Dan, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm not sure. I can barely hear you.
All right. Well, Dan, you have a question for us.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great.
All right. Say, thanks for taking my call. I guess, you know, it's one thing that, you know, some colleges, Christian colleges, are run by, you know, fallible mortals who make mistakes and have very limited understanding of a lot of things. But I guess what really is astounding to me, or can or I don't understand is how, in light of the majesty and the beauty and the infinite complexity of creation, how these fine, intelligent people deny the existence of a God, a creator, an intelligent designer. And really, that's kind of what it boils down to, despite the problems that professors and college administrators, you know, I guess to base your belief system on the actions and beliefs of people who are, some people who are Christians is one thing, but it doesn't seem to be a legitimate reason not to believe in a creator. And so that's my question.
Well, since we do have a panel here, does anyone want to volunteer to go first?
Sure, I'll give it a shot.
I can hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thanks. Either way.
So,
hello?
Oh, I think he's just going to listen to our answers, Ken. So we'll just go around the
panel
real quick.
Well, briefly, my disbelief, the evaporation of my faith came as a long process. It wasn't an arbitrary decision that happened just one day. But the bottom line is this. Upon investigation, I discovered that the Bible itself was a tool created as a means of control for an emperor, and it has since been used as such and is continuing to be used as such. The other thing is, bluntly, I don't see any evidence of a God. I'm not smart enough to say that there is or that there isn't one, so I'm more agnostic than atheist, I guess. I always fall back to my one line. Absent proof, all that's left is belief. And having seen no evidence of any kind of intelligent design, and I could just get into the engineering screw-ups on the human body for an hour, so I'm not going to get into that. But just on the human body, I could come up with a dozen things that are engineering nightmares.
All right. I'm going to stop you there.
That's my answer. I don't believe because, you know, there's nothing there to believe.
All right.
It's just a statement somebody made, a zillion years ago.
All right. Shelley?
Well, I do totally agree with him. There is majesty in the world. There is infinite beauty. And throughout my process, and it began when I was at this college and then took another 10 years to kind of develop, I saw so much human suffering in my own life and in others that there was no way in the universe that I could believe that there was some sort of benevolent God that was playing a benevolent puppet master, because as a teacher, especially I think in Minneapolis public schools, the things that I see are so beyond wicked that I don't believe in a universal justice like that.
Mark?
Talking about the majesty of the universe and just the overall beauty in creation, I take more comfort and find more reverence for the fact that it was created naturally than someone's design or plan. The fact that life has come to this point and we have a very short existence provides myself with meaning outside of religion, and knowing that I can only be forgiven by the kindness of strangers or friends or a faulty memory helps me better regulate my actions and understanding in the world and better operate.
Yeah, I, for one, actually find a lot of comfort in the chaos. You know, the idea that just this teeny tiny change and you're a whole different person, but because of the randomness of the universe, this is how we've developed is actually kind of awesome. And the science behind that majesty just makes it that much more amazing to know that our sun is like this huge nuclear power plant. It just makes it that much more interesting than, oh, it's a big bright bulb.
Oh, yeah.
Of stuff.
There's way more awe in science than I ever found in religion.
Yep. Yeah. Also, the God of the Gaps, where it just keeps getting smaller. And as Shelley, why do I keep doing this?
We'll just switch my name for today for convenience.
No, I will get this. But also the morality of it. You know, it's like the fact that I have more morals than the supposed guide makes it very silly to me that we would go there. But let's do, we have about a minute, so let's quick talk about the rules, and then we'll go on to our
okay.
other questions.
The funniest
after the
rule that we had over at Bethany was there were only certain days that guys could come into the female dorms, and there was a rule that when they were over, the door had to be 6 inches open. And we had an entire plan, and I'm sure you guys can follow logically where I'm going with this, to create door stoppers. Yeah.
North Central had a rule that was almost exactly like
really?
That. Yes.
Oh, man.
Mark.
I haven't seen anything crazy yet in terms of talking to people or going around the campus. So it seems pretty normal.
Awesome. Yeah. I would say North Central actually had 10 rules, and it was hilarious because this one girl who also worked in housekeeping and I with me, we actually went through, and both of us had one rule that we hadn't broken, and it was 2 different rules. Mine was no gambling, but it was like no sex, no alcohol, no this, no that. It was all over the place.
You had your 10 commandments of North Central.
Absolutely. Hey, at least you guys were allowed into each other's dorms. We were not.
I was going to say, on Sundays for an hour. That's it.
I guess we were the naughty ones.
But we'll return with our guests, Shelley, Mark, and Ken, right after the break. Please stay with us. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. In studio, we have what I would classify as a fascinating conversation with Shelley, Mark, and Ken. Before we continue with this conversation, which is our final segment with Shelley, Mark, and Ken, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. It's really important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airways and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with the funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please continue visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. The radio program is put together by an amazing, dedicated group of volunteers. The generous donations of you, our listeners, you keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast form. Personally, I like to use the show to be able to talk about life experiences like we're doing today. If you want to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or our new Patreon page at patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we could not do this show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist websites for podcasts of previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. And if you want to get involved, check out the website and sign up for the Atheist Weekly email, which also lists out our events. And with all this relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to the conversation with Shelley, Mark, and Ken. All right, so we went through the weird rules. I was to say, I have this long list. But here's going back to the kind of more religious portion of it. Was there any chapel or mass at this institution that you went to or are going to? Ken?
Yes, constantly.
All right, Shelley?
Yeah, there was every day.
Yeah, Mark, the smart one?
I know there's a mass every day at noon.
So. Okay, and actually, yeah, for me it was every day. And was it mandatory? And if not, did you go, Ken?
Yes, it was mandatory, but you could pick and choose. You got credits for each time you went. There was somebody there that sort of had a little ticky thingy. You got a ticket, and you handed those in to the dorm dean at the end of the week to make sure that you reached your amount of religious credits.
Was there some way that, like, if you went to enough chapel that you wouldn't have to take one of the religious classes?
No.
Ah, dang.
Did you counterfeit the tickets?
Oh, yeah, we need to learn how to counterfeit those tickets. Shelley.
All right. Well, I always say hi to my daughter. Hi, Bunny Rabbit.
Oh,
yeah, she's rad, 16, atheist, doing it right. There was chapel. It was kind of mandatory, so we, out of fear, I went for about 2 weeks and then spent the rest of the time with my dorm mates watching Price is Right, chain smoking, and eating ramen.
Not mandatory. They do offer actually yoga and meditation classes during the mass as well. So that's another reason, one of the reasons I chose. I was like, cool, I get a break during the middle of the day and get some yoga classes.
Did I mention you're the smart one?
Wow.
Because mine was mandatory if you had morning classes. And so, of course, you know, the smart thing to do would change it all to afternoon classes. But of course, for freshmen, everything is morning classes. So that didn't work very well. there were quite a few times where I just had my headphones in, was listening to 93X. So my next question is, how did the college act when it came to others, and others being like LGBT or maybe Wiccans, pagans, Muslims? Ken?
Strictly verboten. They were not allowed in our school, and if you were caught, you were immediately expelled summarily. End of story, hard stop.
Wow. Shelley?
Same. It was verboten, but I still gave tarot card readings at the time. And there were many, many, I don't know if there were any gay guys, because that was, well, no, there was one, because I met him at an Aveda a little bit later on, and he was as flaming as the sun. But yeah, there was a huge LGBT population on campus. It was just very underground.
I explicitly mentioned that I was an atheist in my statement to the college, and they still accepted me and all that. And I've seen, I know that looking through the student groups, they have an atheist group there, they have an LGBT group there, they have, you know, tons of different groups as well. So they seem to be pretty open and accepting of everybody.
Awesome. It is kind of interesting to see the differences between some of the religious institutions, which is actually one of the questions that I really want to get to. Because for me, it's similar, very verboten. Actually, I think somebody tried to sue North Central to try and be like, listen, I went to, you know, a certain amount, and you're not going to give me credit for anything. Yeah, it was bad. And oh, and their ideas about Wiccans were hilarious. Because when I was 16, I met a Wiccan, and I was like, guys, it's not like that. So I'm going to scroll down here to this question. Because it's interesting, because some of these colleges, like St. Thomas, seem to be becoming more, seemingly more business than religious. And if so, do we think that they should keep kind of the religious tax-exempt status, or should they go to a more secular tax-exempt status? Mark, since you're actually going to this college, that sounds good. Sounds really good in comparison. What do you say?
I have a lot of issues with the 501c3 tax-exempt in religious organizations, just due to the fact that they still use a lot of resources. And by doing so and allowing them to become political bastions of I don't know, a megaphone for whatever thing they want to produce, you're basically being able to funnel money into a religious organization that's tax exempt. So you're getting a tax exemption on your political donations, which I think is a huge.
Well, I was gonna say, because actually 501c3s can't be political.
Yeah.
I know this because since Minnesota Atheist is, I know you have to be. I think it was Andrew Torres said a 501c4 is the political act.
But yeah, so churches are still under the C3, and then it's the I'm spacing on the actual name of the rule. Truman? No, it's not. What's one of the other ones?
Johnson Amendment.
Johnson Amendment. There we go. Where that's the one that basically prohibits the 501c3s from acting in a political nature. But you keep getting pushback from that, especially from the current Congress and administration, but yeah, to be able to write off political donations as a religious organization, I think is definitely it gets into tricky waters concerning a lot of other religious texts. I think the separation of church and state has benefited both sides, and I think it should stay. Churches don't want the government coming in and telling them what to do, and we don't want churches coming in and telling us what to do.
Oh yeah, Shelley, any thoughts?
I'm on board with Mark. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go on.
I never noticed that any problem when I was going to church with the religious leaders telling you how to vote and what they thought you should do and how you would win everlasting salvation if you did what they wanted to do on a political basis. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure it continues on today. And bluntly, churches should be taxed the same way as any corporation or business or individual.
Shelley? I'm on board with the same notion. I think we've gotten to a point in history where I don't know that anybody necessarily thought that churches could make as much money as they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And with the advent of mega churches and the amount of political clout that churches do have, and we have gotten to that point where they are having a very heavy hand in politics, tax the crap out of them.
Yeah, my thing is, if they can prove through their financials that they're not a for-profit kind of situation, then I'm okay with some of the tax exempt. I'm kind of in the middle there. But if, especially the mega churches, I'm like, oh no, they need to be taxed.
Well, if I could just throw in a thing, I worked for a nonprofit at one point, and I remember the administrator saying, our nonprofit status is tax, for tax status only. We do make a profit. when I questioned her about what was going on. It's just that's their tax status.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
tax everybody equally. End of hard stop for me. I'm a bit of a hardliner with that.
No, that is fine. And then, did your experiences, because we have about 4 minutes, 30 seconds, did your experiences in your college, and Mark, I know you went to a secular college, so you can answer this from that point of view, but did your experiences in your college move you away, further away from religion, Ken?
Absolutely.
You want to go any further on that?
Sure. Lincoln, Nebraska is a college town. It's has several other universities, including the University of Nebraska. So you run into a lot of people, you talk to a lot of people, and you find out they don't have horns or cloven hoofs, even more than you found out before. You become friends with them, and you have conversations, and you find out, okay, so that was a lie too. Eventually, it's just more chinks in the armor.
So the idea that since Lincoln, Nebraska is a college town, you still got that diversity there. Interesting.
Oh, yes.
Shelley?
Quite a bit.
We didn't have that much diversity. The diversity was composed of the basketball team that they brought in from Milwaukee for the sole purpose of having a winning basketball team. It was some of the most racist crap I'd ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. But what was the question again? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not tracking.
It's 9:44 on Sunday morning. It's all good. Did your experiences in college move you closer, further from religion?
Yeah, that was a seriously tall diving board, and I fell off after that experience, after everything that I had seen with the abortion boards that they had in the main hallway with fetuses all over it. And the hypocrisy and the rape culture and the misogyny, it blew my mind in a lot of ways that I had not anticipated. So, yeah.
Wow. Mark?
I guess I kind of had the opposite experience going to States. I came into, or started going to UNLV as sort of a firebrand atheist, religion can do absolutely nothing right type of situation. As it became more educated in my own arguments and the arguments of others, there's good on both sides. I mean, not every religious person is evil. Not every atheist is rational. And so you learn to sort of find the good in people. And I think that's one of the best things I took going that route in a state school.
Awesome. Since we have about 2 minutes left, one last question. What was your favorite food served in college? Ken?
I never ate on campus. The food was hideous.
Oh. All right, then
it went from hideous to absolutely what the hell is that?
Okay, so what was the worst?
They had this, it is a cottage cheese special K-loaf. Literally, the one time I tried it, I had to have it swimming in ketchup before it would go down.
Everybody in studio has just the look of absolute disgust by that. Oh my gosh. Shelley?
I'm praying for your former stomach. Oh my God.
Shelley?
Oh, I was just excited to have sugar cereal. My mom like totally would not let me do that. But that was freshman years where I discovered ranch dressing. So that was very exciting. Other than that, I couldn't remember anything that we had there. So yeah, sugar cereal and ranch dressing.
All right. Mark?
Didn't really frequent the dining hall on campus, but I'd frequent the bar adjacent too. So I gotta say beer was probably my favorite drink.
I have to admit, my favorite was for lunch, they had nachos a lot. And so they had like this nacho bar where you could just build your own nachos. And I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Wow.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining. We may have to do this again because, like I said, we had so many questions I didn't get to. But thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. And I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, August 6, 2017. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. This week, news broke that the Trump administration has been hosting Bible study classes during working hours that are attended by members of the president's cabinet. These Bible study classes are being led by a pastor named Ralph Drollinger, who is a person from California. He's a former UCLA basketball star, and he's a person who has inserted himself into a lot of legislative prayer or government prayer, people providing quote-unquote spiritual counseling for a lot of government officials and a lot of people associated with government. And people have cited him as one of the people who are most influential in the Dominionist movement, and that is the movement that is that seeks to instill a very particular type of conservative Christianity and use influence on government officials and elected officials to try to advance their particular theological views using government and using the force of government. To be clear, it's not necessarily a problem that for government officials to attend Bible study classes. That's not what is at issue here. Primary concern from our perspective is number one, that this is happening apparently during working hours, that these Bible study classes and these meetings in which a clergyman comes to government buildings and preaches at members of the cabinet and creates potentially a work environment where there's an expectation where if the boss is going, then everyone else should be going. That's one of those things that even if it's not explicitly said is implicit and still, you know, it's just a minefield for potential constitutional issues. And so we would advise that government officials who are engaging in this sort of behavior, while, you know, it's not unconstitutional for a member of the cabinet to walk through a church door and attend prayers or attend a Bible study class, that we should be subjecting this to a higher level of scrutiny because, number one, yes, it's happening during working hours. Number two, it's happening in government buildings. And number three, they're the boss. And when the first two things are happening, if the boss is attending, there's potentially issues there. The other problem here, the other thing that I think a lot of folks are largely concerned about, are the statements, previous statements by the pastor who's leading this, by Pastor Ralph Drollinger. He previously said that Roman Catholicism is the primary false religion in the world, saying that it's the largest fake religion out there. When he was in California, when he was doing something similar to what he's doing now in the Trump White House, he was doing this in California. He actually got sort of kicked out of a suite of offices controlled by then Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is himself Catholic. He also made a really inflammatory statement about female politicians, saying that female politicians shouldn't be allowed to serve in government. The exact quote on that is, "It is one thing for a mother to work out of her home while her children are in school. It's quite another matter to have children in the home and live away in Sacramento for 4 days a week. Whereas the former could be in keeping with the spirit of Proverbs 31, the latter is sinful," saying, therefore, that having women serve, women, especially mothers who are serving in the state house was inherently sinful. This is one of those things that, you know, this guy has some really ridiculous views on a number of issues, not just on women, but has also called homosexuality an abomination. He has very specific views on immigration. He has said that social welfare programs are sinful, that Jesus was a capitalist. So the list kind of goes on, and, you know, I don't want to get into the specifics of his politics because that doesn't really matter from a constitutional perspective. But this whole thing really speaks to the type of people who have the ear of the president of the United States, that the sort of people who are getting into the White House and talking about these religious, sensitive religious issues. He has people like this. He has people like Robert Jeffress. He has people like Jerry Falwell Jr. These are the people who are in many ways driving this administration's approach to religion and driving their approach to things like the Johnson Amendment repeal, things like church-state separation, and things like, you know, when Donald Trump tweets out, we're a nation, in this nation, we believe in God, not in government. And so, you know, I think it's important to keep this in perspective and keep an eye on, you know, what the real sort of constitutional issues are. But more importantly, think about what this means just from a from the perspective of the message that it sends, that, you know, what it is this White House is saying, who this White House is saying has a seat at the table. And just to reiterate that we sent a letter to the White House back in February encouraging them to continue the previous administration's record of outreach to us, having us at the table when we're discussing matters of religious equality and religious exemptions, and just to reach out to the 25% of Americans who are non-religious, and we've heard nothing. But this administration's view on religious outreach is to talk to more Christians. And so that's a troubling issue and something that we need to hold the administration accountable for, among all the other things that I'm sure people object to. The last thing that I just want to mention this week is just another reminder that our national convention, American Atheist National Convention, is coming up in just 2 short weeks. More information is on our website at www.atheists.org/eclipse. A special highlight for folks who are in the military, either serving on active duty or in the reserves. If you're able to attend, if you'd like to attend, we have a very steep discount for folks in the military for just $50, which is the same price that we're extending to students. You will receive the full admission to the convention. So if you go to atheists.org/convention2017/register/military, that's how you sign up for that. Alternatively, if you just show up with your military ID, we will give you that special rate as well. We have some new speakers to mention at the National Convention. Very briefly here, we've got Athena Salmon, who is a openly atheist female legislator based in Arizona. It's our understanding that she is the only openly atheist female legislator in the country. We've also added Jeff Blackwell, who is a staff attorney here at American Atheists. We've added Tommy O'Haver, who is the writer, director, and executive producer of the Netflix original film The Most Hated Woman in America, which was the story of Madeleine Murray O'Hare, and a few other people who have already been on the list that I've mentioned before, including James Randi, the amazing Randi, including Aaron Ra, including Senator Anne Brazile, who's a member of the Flemish Parliament, Alan Cooperman, who is the Director of Religion Research at the Pew Research Center. We just have a really fantastic group of people, and we're really looking forward to this eclipse and this convention. So I hope if you're able to join us that you'll do so, and I look forward to seeing you. For more information, as always, please visit www.atheists.org/eclipse. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.